Hello, welcome to Morning Manna, June the 6th, 2019. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have brought us again to another day of study, where we can spend some time in understanding the things that you have for us to learn. We ask that you would give us the strength that we need and give us a new understanding of all that you want for us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we've reached the third chapter of the book of Ezekiel, and we begin at verse 1. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech, and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech, and of an hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears. And go get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, Thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, Blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels over them, and a noise of a great rushing. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness, in the heat of my spirit. But the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Then I came to them of the captivity at Tel Aviv, that dwelt by the river of Shebar. And I sat where they sat, and remained there astonished among them 7 days. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou shalt hast delivered thy soul. When a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness, and committeth iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will be, I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not, he shall surely die, because he is warned. Also, thou hast delivered thy soul. And the hand of the Lord was there upon me, and he said unto me, Arise, go forth into the plain, and I will there talk with thee. Then I arose and went forth into the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there, as the glory which I saw by the river of Shabar, and I fell on my face. And the Spirit entered into me and set me upon my feet, and spake with me, and said unto me, Go, shut thyself within thine house. But thou, O son of man, behold, they shall put bands upon thee, and shall bind thee with them, and thou shalt not go out from among them. And I will make thy tongue cleave to the roof of thy mouth, that thou shalt be dumb, and shall not be to them a reprover, for they are a rebellious house. But when I speak with thee, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, He that heareth, let him hear, and he that forbeareth, let him forbear, for they are a rebellious house. Notice here in this chapter again, God is warning his prophet that he has a task to perform, to warn the people concerning their rebellion and to turn from their wicked way. But he's also being warned that they will more than likely forbear and not hear and not obey. Manuscript Release, Volume 5, page 254, beginning at paragraph 1, says, Those who walk in obedience will know what truth is. But the heart that is separated from the truth has no relish for sacred things, because the truth condemns that which it holds dear. Christ says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. In order to know the truth, we must be willing to obey. Those whose affections are placed on the world are not willing to give up their plans for the plans of Christ. They walk in darkness, not knowing whither they go. The precious light of truth flashes upon the pathway of everyone who seeks for it. But iniquity abounds, and for this reason the love of money waxes cold. Those who will be successful in fighting the battles of the Lord must have on the whole armor. They must hold up before the world the one who is able to save to the uttermost all who come to him. They must put away sin, for this God hates. What is sin? John defines it in these words, Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Obedience to the law is the standard held up before us. There's no reason why we should be transgressors. We may be Christians in every sense of the word. By constant prayer, we are to bring Christ into our lives. From him, we are to receive the grace that will enable us to overcome. Only by receiving this grace can we go on from strength to strength and gain a fitness for eternal life. We shall have conflicts and temptations to meet, and we are to meet them in the Spirit of Christ. The Savior promised, My grace sufficient. We shall be known by the fruit that appears in our lives, a pure fountain, not sent forth an impure stream. Neither will a true Christian utter words of abuse or enter into connection with those around him. When we set our hearts on God, we shall have a constant battle to fight, for we have the enemy of all righteousness to contend with. In every conceivable way, he will seek to discourage us and cast us down. The world stands opposed to Christ and his work, but those who are striving to do the will of God have this consolation. They are united with the highest authorities of heaven. Trusting in Christ and advancing step by step, the children of God will gain the victory. If we desire a place in the world to come, we must bring our will into subjection to the will of God. We must follow the light that shines upon our pathway. To go contrary to this light is to walk away from Christ. It should be our highest aim in life to get ready for heaven. Sanctification is not the work of a moment, but of a lifetime. The sinner must repent of his sin and come to Jesus for pardon. The promise is, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We know that he was manifested to take away your sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Many are deceived on this point. Their minds are confused, and they do not know what sin is. But they can know by studying the Word of God. There's a higher standard for us to reach than we have yet reached. We must be cleansed from all unrighteousness, Paul says. I have not ceased to warn you from house to house. Why did he do this? Because the law was transgressed. He himself, when he saw his true condition, exercised repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Let no one think that while he is living in transgression, he will be allowed to enter the gates of the holy city. Those who, when Christ comes, are in rebellion against God will not be admitted to the courts above. No rebel will enter heaven. Daily we are to be preparing for the kingdom of glory. God's standard is to test our character. If we endure the test, we shall be given a place among the redeemed. We must bring heaven into our hearts, into the daily life. Christ is an all-powerful helper, and those who follow him will not walk in darkness, but will understand the thoughts of heaven. They will understand the voice of the true shepherd and will walk in obedience. We must search the scriptures for ourselves. As we search them as for hidden treasure, the truths that we find will give us strength to stand in the day of God. God holds us responsible for those around us. They are sinners to save, souls to be won. Shall we allow iniquity to separate us from Christ, from the work that he has given us? Let each one of us say, I will not disappoint the Savior. He shall not have died for me in vain. I want to praise him through all eternity. I must have heaven at any cost. We would see the King in his beauty. Would you stand around the great white throne? Then you must obey God's commandments, because none will enter heaven who refuse to accept the law of Jehovah as the rule of life. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. John 10, verses 27 through 30. Here Christ has said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. We have the fact presented that no one could pluck them out of his hand. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which buildeth his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Now it is very important that we should search the scriptures ourselves, for we are enjoined to give a reason of the hope that is within us with meekness and fear. What saith the scriptures? But they are our chart and guide to heaven. It is not safe for us to follow any man unless his word is in harmony with the scriptures. What saith our Redeemer? For we want to know what to do. The answer comes to walk in the light as it is unfolded to us. Our Savior has made an infinite sacrifice for us, that we may regain that which was lost by Adam. Christ offered himself a substitute for man. He left his happy position in heaven and laid off his royal robes, his crown and dignity, and for our sakes became poor. He did not come to mingle with the great or to appear in splendor, but he associated himself with the poor, to lift them up from their lowest state. And for all this love, he was despised and rejected. He says, what could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done to it? Isaiah 5 and verse 4. He has set us an example in order that we may know how to walk in conformity with his will. Christ is a true shepherd. His example, if followed, will lead us aright. How precious was his gentle spirit. He was meek and lowly in heart. No jealousy, no envy, no iniquity was found in him. He passed over the same ground where Adam fell, thus showing us that it is possible for man to overcome. Those who follow Christ will be obedient. They will not trample on one of God's holy precepts. It is very important to know what we're following. There are precious victories for us to gain. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. But how apt men are to shrink from the approach that the truth will bring and then be led to disobey the requirements of God. There have been those in the past who have suffered for the truth's sake. It was to them dearer than life, and men lost their lives to gain eternal life. It will not be surprising if we have to suffer, if we are tried. When these trials come, it may be on account of temporal things, but we must not allow the things of this life to govern us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6 and verse 33. If we are sanctified through the truth, then we shall let nothing come between us and our duty to God. What is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Matthew 16:23. There are many who exchange their souls for this life. But what is a man profited if he should gain this world? For he cannot have this world and the one to come. When the Son of Man comes from heaven with all his glory, he will then reward every man according to his works. Here we are appointed to the future life. We have a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Paul says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. We want to think of the future home, where there is no disappointment, no sin, no enemy, no outburst of passion. And all of this will be realized by those who will follow the true shepherd and obey the commandments of God. Although Satan is at war with the followers of Christ, the true shepherd will not allow anyone to pluck them out of his hand. Every soul that comes in sincerity will find help. Our Heavenly Father tells us to ask, and if we ask, we shall receive. He knows that we are deformed by sin. He knows our weakness. He knows that Satan is striving to control the passions of men. And he has sent Christ to break every yoke, to set before man an example. And it is for us to copy the perfect pattern, for heaven is worth everything. Wherever we look, we see deformity caused by sin. And we all need a Savior, one who will save to the uttermost. But we must do our part to work out our own salvation. I am so glad that I have a Savior, one who can help me. God did not send angels to this world to save man, but his own Son, who suffered and was tempted on all points, like as we are. And he knows how to succor all that are tempted and tried. This is done that we may have salvation. What more could have been done than has been done? This should evidence to us that God has great love for the human race. Therefore, in return, he demands obedience from our hands. You may ask, what is the value of one soul? I will point you to Calvary. The precious Savior placed an estimate upon man, and he became poor that we may be elevated. With his divine arm, He came to lift us up. And this was done by the sacrifice of his own life. He knew that man could not overcome in his own strength. And he left the courts of heaven that we might be reconciled to the Father. Oh, what matchless love! Well may John exclaim, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." 1 John 3:1. It is sin that caused this great sacrifice to be made, and now God claims us for loyalty and to walk in the light of his perfect rule and to walk in the light of his standard in order that we might be brought back to our Eden home. Christ is the true shepherd. He is the true leader. And if we do not follow him by doing as he did, then we are none of his. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can trust you. We thank you that daily you demonstrate this in the example that you set. We thank you for your word and how we can follow it carefully. We ask now that you would give us an attitude of repentance, that we may ask forgiveness for the time wasted, so that we might walk according to your will. We place ourselves in your hand again, asking that you would continue to make the changes that are so necessary to be made in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been Morning Manna, June 6, 2019.